I want us to look at some titles of the Lord Jesus Christ from this passage that we have read. As we see this book, John, the apostle wrote it, and he gave us some reasons why he wrote the book. He wants us, or the readers, to believe in Jesus. And by believing in him, they may have eternal life. So his purpose is you and me to put our trust upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And by doing so, we have eternal life. But there's another reason. He also wants us to know the Lord Jesus Christ. For he said this, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He wants us to behold the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we look at him, John say, he's so glorious. No, John had a glimpse with Peter when they went to that Mount of Transfiguration, and they saw the Lord Jesus Christ shining and showed the great glory of our Savior. And John wants us to see that glory of our Savior. So he gives us different titles in this passage about the Lord Jesus Christ. And these titles, they reveal to us our dear Savior. They reveal to us what the Lord Jesus Christ, he is, and what he does in this passage. And number one, you will see in the verse 36, is John the Baptist seeing our beloved Savior, and he gave us number one title, which you see, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the Lamb of God. See there, that 36. Looking at Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. He wants them to look at the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they see Christ, they see him as the Lamb of God. Earlier, he said that in verse 29. He said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And you ask John, what is the greatest work of the Lord Jesus Christ? You came to prepare for him the way. What is the greatest task? What will he carry? And he tells us, the greatest task of our beloved Lord Jesus is to take away sin. And this one, the Lamb of God, remind us of those Old Testament sacrifices. John have got a privilege to see what the Old Testament saints saw through pictures, through types, through sacrifices of the Lamb in the Old Testament. And what a joy as he pronounced the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold, look deeply, look at him. He is the long-awaited Lamb who was to come. You remember that redemption day that God delivered them out of the Egyptian captivity, when they slaughtered the Lamb and put their blood on doorpost. And that day that was great, there was a great deliverance. John tells us, here he is now, the one that we are looking for. Behold him. Look at him. Put your trust in him. And the Lamb also remind us, those Old Testament sacrifices, remember the burnt offering, the peace offering, the sin offering, and the high priest going to the holiest of holies once a year and sacrificing and laying his hand on the head of the lamb, representing the sins of the people, he said, "Behold him, and the Lord Jesus Christ is that awaited lamb." And dear friends and my brothers and sisters in Christ, this is a great title of our beloved Lord and Savior. He is the Lamb of God. Take us directly to Calvary. He offered a perfect sacrifice once and for all. You remember those Old Testament saints, they sacrifice once a year, and immediately you leave the temple. You go out and sin come again into your heart. A bad thought has already come. And you are saying, "Oh my, again I have to wait for a year. Oh my, I've just been cleansed. And again, I've sinned. I eat again." And dear friends, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. May we never forget that, even as believers. May we never forget Calvary. May we never forget Gethsemane, as the hymn writer said, where our dear Lord was sacrificed. He is the Lamb of God. Isaiah described him as a man of sorrow who will come and will be crucified. We will bear our sin upon himself. If you read that, Isaiah 53, John is now telling us the Lord Jesus Christ, he is that anticipated lamb. You know, we sing it, "Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came. Ruined sinners reclaim. Hallelujah, what a savior." He is the Lamb of God. You remember when Abraham was going to sacrifice his son Isaac, that test that by grace of God, Abraham passed with flying colors. You know, not always, but this time he passed with flying colors, was ready to sacrifice his son. And Isaac asked a question, "Dad, my father, where is the lamb? Where is the lamb? I can't see everything. Where is the lamb?" And he said, "The Lord will provide for himself a sacrifice." The Lord Jesus Christ is that lamb. God has provided for himself a sacrifice. And dear friends, even as we will be coming to the table later on, we must not forget the blood shed by our dear Savior on Calvary cross. He is the Lamb of God. Maybe some few applications to this as believers. What should be our response? We are reminded of sin. And sin must be punished. Sin must be atoned for. Either Christ has paid for us, or we shall pay for ourselves. And that means eternal damnation. Thank be to God that majority of us here, Christ has paid for us. And it reminds me that book in Ephesians, it must be chapter 5, no, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, where Paul says, verse 7, "Christ Jesus, our Passover lamb, has been crucified or sacrificed for us." When we think of him, we think that he's our Passover lamb. And the Lord Jesus Christ has been sacrificed for us. You can even put yourself there. For me, he is the Passover lamb that has been sacrificed for me. I now have peace with God. I have been now redeemed. The wrath of God that's supposed to abide upon my head has been taken away by the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my substitute. The righteous for the unrighteous, that we might become the righteousness of God. And another thing we can respond, the same way they responded in Revelation chapter 5. When none was worthy, found worthy to open the scroll and look therein. And John was crying, was told, "Stop crying. Here is the one who is qualified to make us known the God's plans of redemption, to reveal them to us. It was none other than the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they responded and say, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." And our response must always be, "Worthy is the Lamb." We look for that day, dear friends, that we will praise him, his worthiness, without sinning heart. That we shall really praise his worthiness as deserved. But meanwhile, while he's here, may the Holy Spirit help us and aid us to sing of his worthiness as the one who was slain on our behalf. And John is writing this, and he wants us to believe this Jesus, to see how glorious he is, to put our trust in him. And by doing so, we have eternal life. And dear friends, and my dear sisters, and my brothers in Christ, oh, I plead with you. We did not only look to the Lamb that day we are saved. We must continue to look to him. In our walk with the Lord, we must keep our eyes upon the Lamb of God. Let us not look any other side, but look upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 38, another title of our Savior. Maybe I have gone faster. When the disciples heard this, they followed him. That's what has happened to you. The two disciples of John, they followed him. We are following the Lamb of God. And some of you who have not come to him for salvation, may follow him. Follow him, because he is the Lamb of God. Verse 38, give us another title. Then Jesus said, "And turned and saw them following, and said unto them, What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwelleth thou?" And that's another title of the Lord Jesus Christ, Rabbi, or teacher, master. And so his title, one of his titles is master, is Rabbi, his teacher. The world was in darkness, and John has really explained that the world was in darkness. Our minds blinded by the God of this world. If you remember that great doctrine of man's total depravity, sin affected every aspect of our lives. Nowhere, none of our part of our lives left without being touched by sin. No one understandeth, no, not one. No one seeketh after God. The God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. The heart of man is deceitful above everything else. That's the core, the center of our being ever since man fell into sin. And we needed a master, we needed a teacher, one that can instruct us, one who can reveal to us who God is and how God is like. He's called teacher. We needed this teacher who will train us and teach us to know how God looked like, and how we live. I remember Apostle Paul writings to Titus. In Titus chapter 2 from verse 11, he says, "The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared," and in none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, teaching us to deny the appearing of Savior, the grace of God, Lord Jesus, it's dawn. A great light has dawned. And now we are trained how we ought to live. Negatively, we deny. And positively, we follow after godliness. So the Lord Jesus Christ is Rabbi. He came to teach us, renewing our minds. And now we can offer our bodies as a living sacrifice unto God. And dear friends, he is still training us and teaching us through his word. And through the proclamation and preaching of his word. Sunday after Sunday, you come to this church to receive the instruction from our Savior, speaking to us through the Bible. He is the Rabbi. He is the teacher. He's the one who is able to remove ignorance from our minds. He's able to bring us a great understanding of ourselves and of our Savior. I think to John Calvin, we say two knowledge that are most important, the knowledge of God and the knowledge of man. They go hand in hand. Very important things to know. And dear friends, we have got the Lord Jesus Christ. He is Rabbi. He will teach you even now. He will instruct you as you read, as you study, as you meditate upon his word. I think the word meditation, I don't know whether in the UK, has been abused. People think that it's yoga. It's a concentration, so people fear meditation. But meditation means thinking again and again, pondering deeply the truth of God's words. It's not yoga. It's reflecting upon the word of God again and again. And the Savior is one who instructs us. He's Rabbi. Look how glorious he is. Remember that day in John chapter 7 when those temple police were saying to go and arrest the Savior and they were not able to arrest him. They asked him, where is the man? And they say, no one ever spoke the way this man does. No one ever spoke the way this man does. He did not teach like ordinary teacher. He taught as one with authority, one who have come from above to teach us God's truth. That Savior is still alive, and that Savior is in our midst, and is still training us even now. He's Rabbi, and that's one of his titles. Another title you'll see of our Savior in verse 41. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted Christ. So you can see there we have seen his Rabbi, and you saw the response. The response, they were following the Lord Jesus Christ. They were following the Lord Jesus Christ. They asked him, where do you stay? And you know, the following was a right one. They followed because he's the Lamb of God. And so the Lord Jesus Christ say, come and see. You remember there was somebody who say, we want to follow you. And he told him, foxes have got holes. Now the Son of Man have got nowhere to lay his head. But here, when they're following the Messiah, he's willing to reveal himself to them and stayed with them. What a wonderful time they had with the Savior. Spending the whole day or night with a Savior and enjoying his presence. What a great blessing. And here we see Andrew. Andrew sees the Lord Jesus Christ. He is an evangelist. You can see, knowing this title does not just make us relax. He goes to his brother, Simon, and he tells his brother, look, we have found the Messiah. And that's another title of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Messiah, the anointed one. He's the Christ. We have not found ordinary person. We have found the Messiah, the one that the Old Testaments were looking forward to. You say, Abraham saw my days, and he rejoiced in it. He did not see it physically, but he believed in the revelation that God revealed to him. And he saw the days of Christ, and he rejoiced in it. The Messiah that all were longing, they thought that it was on there during their time that they see him, this mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father, Emmanuel, God together with us. That promise which God gave to King David in 2 Samuel chapter 7, one of your descendants will be a king, and his kingdom will be without end. He will be a king forever. Andrew tells his brother, we have found the Messiah, the anointed one. The one that we are anticipating, we have found him. Remember that Simon, when he was presented in temple, seeing the Lord Jesus Christ, seeing the Messiah, he said, ah, let your servant now lie. Let me go in peace. Let me go in peace now. Let me die in peace. For my eyes have seen the Messiah. And so that's another title of the Lord Jesus Christ, one who will deliver the people of God from their sins, the anointed one. And you remember when Apostle Peter later on, the Lord Jesus Christ asked, who do people say the Son of Man is? That's Caesarea Philippi. And some gave some, you are Jeremiah. Another prophets, and say, who do you say I am? And Peter said, you are the Messiah. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he pronounced the blessing upon those who are upon Peter. He said, blessed art thou, be Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. My dear friends, what amazing thing. Christ is our Messiah. And flesh and blood has not revealed it to us. It is God, our Father, who has revealed this truth to us, that indeed the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the Messiah. He's the anointed one. He is our great Savior. He's our great Messiah. And he wants us to live, to know that the Lord Jesus Christ, he is our Messiah. Do you look at him as the Messiah? In Africa, there are many people calling themselves messiahs. There are people calling themselves prophets, mighty prophets. They are mistaken, dear friends, even here. Those who call themselves the Messiah, they are mistaken. We only have one, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the anointed one. And dear friends, he's the one who has found us, or we have founded none other than the Messiah. Are you so evangelistic and with vigor and with a lot of energy like Andrew? You want everybody in East Dulwich and England to know that we have found the Messiah. Do you tell your brothers? Do you tell your sisters? Do you tell your family members? Do you share with your colleague? We have found the Messiah. Our churches ought to be evangelistic churches. Not only pastor go and reach out, not only some selected few, but each and every one of us. Going forth like Andrew with love. We have found, it's not guessing, we have found the Messiah. And dear friends, each and every one of us can give a testimony. One thing that I've found people not able to argue with is our salvation. If you tell people how the Lord Jesus Christ found you, and say, they may say you are crazy, but They cannot oppose that. We have found the Messiah. Don't be silent. Don't keep quiet. Let us be active in sharing with others the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the Messiah. And He said, we have found the Messiah. Let us see another title. It must be in verse 45. Philip findeth Nathanael and say unto him, we have found him of him whom Moses in the law and prophet did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And that's another title. We have found him. The prophet wrote about him, Moses. When you see Moses, sometimes referred to Pentateuch, and the entire Old Testament wrote about him. We have found him, the one that they were speaking about. And he gave us there the name of him. He is Jesus of Nazareth. He was a real man who lived in a town called, or a place called Nazareth. He grew in this particular place and in time and in history. And the place where he comes from is called Nazareth. He was tempted. He knew what it means to live in that particular town. In fact, Nathanael is saying, can something good come out of Nazareth? That's where our Savior came from, that particular place. He knew what temptation is. He knew what it means to live there in Nazareth. He knows what it means to be human. Just as you know what it means to be in Dulwich. Is Dulwich here? You know what it means to live here. And how life is here. And the Lord Jesus Christ experienced that life in Nazarene, in Nazareth. And this gives us encouragement that He understands our weaknesses. He's able to sympathize with us. I think we read it, I don't know whether for children or here. He was tempted in all ways, yet without sin. Tempted in every way, the Savior. The Savior understands us. We can go to Him. We live in a world where people are anxious. We live in a world where depression has gone higher than ever experienced before. And yet we have got everything that this life can offer. It's a time that people can say that they are wealthy, they are educated. And it's our age that even mental health has become such a great problem in the world where we are. Dear friends, we have one we can go to when things are hard. He lives in Nazareth, the Lord Jesus Christ. We can turn to Him. We can go to Him. He lives in a world where people gossip one another. People lie against one another. People crucify one another. God the Son live in such life. What a title we have of our Savior. He comes from Nazareth. No matter how condition be, the Savior is able to sympathize with us. And having seen that, let us then go to 49. And there you will see Nathanael said, 48, I think. Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou about me? Jesus answered, said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast at the fig tree, I saw thee. And then verse 49. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. You see, there are those two titles. He is the Son of God. Jesus is fully God. Later on we'll see, and is fully man. He is God, the Son of God. He is divine Lord. He comes from above. He is begotten of the Father, not created. He was with the Father in the eternity past. John will tell us in verse 1 of chapter 1, in the beginning there was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is fully God, the Son of God, who became flesh and made his dwelling among us. He is the Son of God. He's not the Son of God through adoption. No. Us, it is because of him. That title, Son of God, give us some hope and make us rejoice. He's the Son of God from the eternity past. He's the Son of God forever and ever, the Lord Jesus Christ. And because he's the Son of God, what has happened to us? We have been adopted. In him, we have been adopted. We are now children of God, whether educated or not, whether rich or poor, whether from Africa like myself, or whether from England. If we put our trust in him, we are adopted. Those who receive him, even those who believe in his name, he gave them power to become children of God. We are adopted, and adoption should make us happy. We should never see ourselves in the terms of color or tribe or classes. Sometimes you have churches, people have classes. The poor, the rich sit this side, and they have got various. No, dear friends. We are adopted into the family of Christ, and we are one. No matter where we come from, we are one in the Lord Jesus Christ. John was thrilled by adoption, being adopted, that even in his old age, he was so thrilled and talked about our adoption. You remember that in his first letter, chapter 3, he said, behold what manner of love the Father has given to us. Behold, look and see. Look what God has done to us. Behold what manner of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called sons of God. Even me, even you was without God, without hope, separated from commonwealth of Israel, object of wrath, children of dooms, those of us who are dogs, we have been adopted. And we are God's children. What manner of love is this? Look at it. Behold it. We are children of God. I say we don't know how we shall look like, but this one we know. When we shall see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What an encouragement. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Through him, we have become children. Dear friends, the Lord Jesus Christ is God the Son. And so we pray to him. Remember, we also say, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we dare not approach him on our own merits, but through his merits alone. His death was of infinite value. The one who died was none other than God the Son. I want to rush now. Another one you saw there, King of Israel. He's a strong leader, a leader. He's the one who leads his people. He's the King of Israel. Nathanael now says he's the King of Israel, one who leads his people, the one who rules his people. the one who fight for his people, the one who will defend his people. The one every knee shall bow before, and every tongue one day must confess that is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Our Savior is King. Don't forget that we Reform people, Reform Baptist people, believe in those three offices of Christ. He has our prophets, he's our priest, and he's our King. And here you see him. He's the King of Israel. My dear friends, we have a King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes people fight so hard, they want their man to be the leader. They want their man to be the president. They want their man to be prime minister. They want their man to be... My dear friends, we have one, the Lord Jesus Christ. And his kingdom is from everlasting to everlasting. Now he rules in our hearts. But a day is coming that his rule will rule. We shall have a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness and perfection dwell forever and ever. But now he reigns in our hearts, we believers. You see, you are King. You know, when your King came into power, we also watched news. And some people were saying, he's not my King. May you not be the one who tell the Lord Jesus Christ, you are not my King. Ah, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our King. And he reigns over us. And reigns over his church. I want to finish with the last one, which is the last verse. Then the Lord Jesus Christ himself called himself, he's the Son of Man. And you know that title is also used in Luke. The book of Luke uses it several times. The Son of Man, the Son of Man. And Ezekiel uses that one, the Son of Man. The Son of Man was pointing to the one who will come, both God and man. You know, the Good News don't have that title. The Good News Bible doesn't have the titles. That's the, when I had a problem with it, was there was no title in Ezekiel, Son of Man. I say now, if they have diluted it, that the word Son of Man, you can't see Son of a person. No, Son of Man. You shall see the Son of Man. That was Christ Jesus, also favorite title. He used it several times. He's fully man, and he's also fully God. He came from heaven to earth. He made his dwelling among us. Apostle Paul, giving him as example, is overwhelmed by him. Let your attitude be like that of Christ. Even though very nature he was God, he not considered a robbery or something to stick upon, but he was willing to become a servant. Perfect man who lived sinless life on our behalf. We who lack righteousness can now be clothed with his righteousness. Have you seen that doctrine comforting? The doctrine of justification by faith. In Christ, what a comforting doctrines. God is righteous, require righteousness like that of his. None of us can attain it. Thank be to God. He became man, made his dwelling among us. He obeyed law on our behalf. Kept it. Died our death on the cross of Calvary. He is the second Adam, who has conquered where the first man fell. He has restored all things. The ruin that was caused by the fall of our first parent, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Son of Man. We don't have time to give you the benefits when we talk about Jesus Christ being the Son of Man. The book of Hebrews will tell us he became flesh and blood, so that through his death, he may destroy him who have power over death, that's the devil, and free those who are all their lifetime in slavery of fear of death. He came flesh so that he may become a faithful and a merciful high priest in the things pertaining to God. He came in order to sympathize with us. He came in order to make propitiation. He's the Son of Man. Dear friends, that this is the one we have come. We are coming soon to remember as we participate in the Lord's Supper. Oh, may we cherish him. May we love him. May we live for him. May we meditate on these things throughout the week. Let us pray again. Thank you very much, dear Lord, for this evening service, Lord. And we thank you that we can remember you. You are our everything. We can say like Apostle Paul, you are our all in all. Be thou glorified, the Lord Jesus Christ, our King, our Messiah, our Lamb. We pray all these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.